Awesome God, you are here. We say every week that you are present in our lives, that you guide us and call to us, but rarely do we say that you are here right now. Same can be said of every moment, and perhaps it should, but for now we pause and acknowledge that you are here. Speak to us as you spoke to Peter and Cornelius. Reveal to us your will and your way. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, who came to show us just how near you walk with us. Amen. So, I was walking through the Sobeys uptown one day. The Sobeys that moved, not the one that's there now, but the one that was there before up next to the Starbucks. I was walking through that with my son Jacob. It wasn't a shopping trip meant to get food for the week or even to load up on school lunch supplies. We were just there to grab snack food. In particular, we were there to get some food that was bad for us, but tastes so good. As happens when I have one or both of the twins in a store, we waste a lot of time walking. We go up and down every aisle just to look around. As we were approaching the end of the baking needs aisle, you can all picture it in your minds, I'm sure, Jacob stopped and said, "Daddy?" "Yes, Jacob." "Can I pray?" "Sure you can, buddy. Pray away." So Jacob closed his eyes, lifted his head and said, "Dear God, thanks for the food, thanks for the sun, thanks for the sky. Thanks for Mommy and Daddy and Amy. Amen." "Is that good, Daddy?" "That's perfect, Jacob." It was perfect. Because it was what he wanted to say to God in that moment. It was simple, straightforward, and perfect. The story probably isn't new to everyone, because I tell it a lot. And I mean, it happened in the old Sobeys, so it was at least 6 months ago, but it was actually closer to 2 years ago that it happened. I tell this story to illustrate just how deep my son's faith is compared to my own. Unhindered by where he was, who he was with, or who might have been around. Shows in him a deep awareness that God isn't just in this place, but is with us wherever we go, even in the baking needs aisle at Sobeys. I also tell it because my son helped me encounter God in a moment where I wasn't looking for God. It wasn't a good day. It wasn't a bad day. It wasn't the caption of a beautiful sunset or a roaring thunderstorm. It wasn't a prayer offered because of some tragedy or joyous event. It was near the end of a baking needs aisle at Sobeys. Both of us bathed in the light of fluorescent tubes. It was ordinary. It was filled with God, and it was ordinary. I also tell this story to remind people that ministers aren't the only ones who can pray at the start and end of meetings, but that's okay. The story came to mind as I was reading through our scripture passage for this morning, because it's an ordinary story too. No one in the story is dying. No one's in trouble. No one's seeking help. No one needs healing. Cornelius is just a guy. A regular guy, a centurion of the Italian cohort. The passage doesn't say whether he was good or bad, but that he was faithful. And that he did help people where he could. So I guess we can at least say he was a decent guy. In our scripture today, this ordinary man named Cornelius has an encounter with God that came to him in the middle of the afternoon, not during a time of crisis or celebration, but in the midst of an otherwise mundane day. An angel of the Lord came to Cornelius in a vision. "Send for Simon Peter," the angel said. And after the vision, Cornelius did just that. Sent his men for this guy named Simon Peter. The next day, there's a very similar story taking place. Peter's more well known to us for sure, being one of the first disciples of Christ. But Peter is not the same man that we knew. Last that we heard, just last week in our scripture readings, Peter, along with the other disciples, had been commissioned by Christ to go, to spread the good news, to baptize the nations in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Peter of that story was just days removed from the resurrection. Can anyone guess how long it's been since that great hillside commissioning? I said it in the e-news. Any guesses? Nobody read the e-news this week. Come on. Days ago. That was days ago. 11 years. The events of today's story take place 11 years after Peter's last encounter with Christ before he ascended. Still, he lives by the words of a friend and rabbi. Still, he passes on those teachings to others. Still, he's baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Still, he lives in hope of that empty tomb. But like Cornelius, Peter wasn't doing anything out of the ordinary on the day of the reading. Sure, if you do a little bit of reading around the passage, you find that just before this, he was raising a woman from the dead. But this, it was an ordinary day. That was yesterday. This is today. Totally ordinary. And on this ordinary day, Peter did one of the things that his Lord taught him to do. He went to pray. And in the midst of this time of prayer and the needs of his body, they coalesced into a vision of animals of every kind spread on a great sheet with a voice urging him to kill and eat. This vision is often confused as New Testament evidence of God saying, "Pork's no longer off limits," but it's actually more subtle and more important than that. The animals had nothing to do with food, but rather the peoples of the world. What God has made clean, you must not call profane. God is instructing Peter in his ministry, opening up whole groups of people to whom Peter would not have gone because they weren't his people. In fact, that's the only really out of the ordinary thing happening in today's reading, at least from Peter's perspective. After coming out of his trance, the men sent by Cornelius show up, and he leaves. But there's actually a gap in our reading between Peter leaving Joppa and arriving at Caesarea to bring the good news to Cornelius and his household. For the most part, it's about Peter talking with the man, talking about the house of Cornelius, and Cornelius recounting the vision that he had had. But before Peter hears this, as he comes to the threshold of the house, he says to Cornelius, "You yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean." In these words, Peter clears up that vision for us. He makes it clear that the animals were about the Gentiles, but he's also saying to Cornelius that Peter is at risk here, that standing on the threshold of the house, about to enter into this place, he's about to cross into a place he's not supposed to go. Now, there aren't any actual laws about Jewish people hanging around with Gentiles. But Peter's society had taken it to that level. And so while it would not have been an offense to God that Peter enter this house, it would have been seen as an offense by his own people. So Peter is taking a risk in following God to the home of this man. But it was a risk that he took willingly, because that was the relationship and the trust that he had with God through Jesus Christ. Now, the rest of the story, while joyful in that the Holy Spirit comes upon the people gathered in the home of Cornelius, is without incident, really. No one confronts Peter about entering this house that he shouldn't have been in. Cornelius is not a changed man, except for the fact that he's been baptized, but he continues, as far as we know, to be a decent man, as described earlier. As far as the Bible goes, this is a pretty tame story. That's exactly why we need to hear it. Most of the stories that we hear in this place speak of a God who is present in the midst of the amazing and the awful. God is with the Hebrew people in Egypt, in their flight through the Red Sea, in their wandering of the desert. God is with the prophets who seek to turn a chosen people from a path of brokenness and pain to one of healing and hope. God is with Jesus in the midst of stormy seas, of raising friends from the dead. God is in the moment of the cross and of the empty tomb. These are all big moments in the life of the chosen people in the Hebrew Scriptures and in the life of Christ in the Greek Scriptures. Rarely do we encounter God in the simple and ordinary moments of people's lives. And yet those stories are part of our Holy Scriptures as well. God came to Samuel as a voice in the night. God walks beside us through green pastures and still waters. God is revealed in an encounter between a woman at a well and Jesus Christ, both coming looking for water, both finding something more. We've trained ourselves only to look for God in times of great stress or excitement. And so we've been trained to ignore God in the midst of our everyday. We expect God to call us to the dark places of the world and to bring light, to go to situations filled with hate and bring love. And yes, God does call us to that important work. But just as important, God calls us to the simple sharing of our faith with one another, just as Peter did with Cornelius. But like Peter coming into the house of a Gentile, the space of sharing faith, of our sharing faith with one another, doesn't always feel safe. We hesitate to share our experience of God with others because we don't want to be seen as weird. Because we don't want to be discounted for what we've experienced. Because maybe our encounter isn't as profound or as powerful as another's. But it is precisely that work to which God calls us most often. Because our lives aren't always a roller coaster of up and down and upside down. For the most part, our lives are made up of moments in between other moments. A morning breakfast, writing a report, walking the dog, shopping for groceries. Those in-between moments fill our lives. And if we learn anything from today's reading, it is that God is in those moments. And because they make up the bulk of our moments, our lives are overflowing with the presence of God. It is this constant presence of God that we are called to share. A reminder that God isn't waiting for us down the road, that God is here. God is here right now. And God is calling us to share those experiences, those simple and wonderful experiences with one another. And so, as we prepare to go from this place, let us open ourselves to the truth of the words that we say we believe. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.